In chapter 1, Paul showed us four marks of a gospel-changed life. We looked at a changed heart and a changed Lord, a changed purpose, and a changed future. And this morning, as we look at chapter 2, we're going to add three more marks of a gospel-changed life: boldness, gentleness, and integrity. And as we go through this chapter, we will see that these are primarily marks or features that Paul is attributing to the leaders within the Thessalonian church in a specific way. But certainly by extension, these can apply to all believers. So what I'd like to do is look at each one of these in turn: boldness, gentleness, integrity, and then we'll take a moment to see how these might intersect with our lives, our Monday to Friday lives. So looking first, the gospel gives us boldness. Paul begins this chapter by reminding the Thessalonians that he had just come from Philippi, and it was not a good experience. He had been beaten, he had been imprisoned, and he had been publicly humiliated. And he writes to them, and he says, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." Sometimes I like to watch on YouTube videos of street preachers. Now, I'm not talking about crazy people with signboards. I'm talking about real Christians who are going out into the marketplace and preaching the gospel. And it is incredible the hostility and sometimes violence that they sometimes meet up with. And Paul says, that's what happened to me in Philippi. And humanly speaking, that should have been something that would have discouraged him, perhaps motivated him to throw in the towel. Certainly, you know, if you or me, I'll speak for myself, had invested myself in a ministry effort and trying to do something good for God, and I ended up getting beaten up and thrown in prison, I might reasonably conclude that I should maybe tone things down a bit. But that's not what Paul does. That's not what Paul says. Though we had already suffered, that second verse, though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated Philippi, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Now, I want you to notice, though, where the boldness came from. It didn't come from Paul's personality. It came in our God. And that's very important, because this is a very key distinction, which perhaps until this week when I was thinking about it, I hadn't made myself. But there is a difference between Christian boldness and self-confidence. There's a difference between Christian boldness and self-confidence. Self-confidence is a human characteristic, but boldness in our God is something that is supernatural and animated by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Self-confidence comes from believing in yourself. I'm confident that I could answer any question that somebody throws against me. or I'm confident that I won't get tongue-tied, or whatever it might be. But the gospel tells us that our value as sons and daughters of God does not rest in our success, even our success in witnessing, even our success in sharing the gospel. Our value does not come from our success or from other people's approval, because through Christ, we have already been received, we've already been loved, we are already secure, and because of all of those things, we are free to take risks. The gospel liberates us from the need to protect ourselves. So, you know, why is it that we are often afraid to speak about Christ? Well, 9 times out of 10, it's because of the fear of rejection. We fear looking foolish, or we fear losing approval. But the verdict that matters has already been rendered at the cross. So human verdicts lose their ultimate power. Paul could endure opposition because he had already found his joy and his security in Christ. The gospel gave him courage, boldness. So boldness is a mark of a gospel-changed life. And then secondly, integrity. In verses 3-6, Paul goes on to describe some of the things that motivated him in ministry and some of the things that didn't. For our gospel appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Paul's ministry was not driven by impure motives. It wasn't driven by deception. I try to keep up with what's going on in the spiritual world, the Christian world, in various sectors, and in the charismatic part of the world, which I come from and am still a part of. I consider myself to be a spirit-filled, charismatic Christian. I believe in all of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit operating today. But in the charismatic world, maybe you've noticed this, but there's been a couple of fellows, I can name their names because it's all public now, but Sean Bowles is one, and several others claiming to have prophetic ministries, and now it has been exposed that they had been data mining on Facebook. They knew that they would ask for the registration list of people that are going to be at the conference that they were going to speak at so that they could pray over the list. And they actually were doing Facebook research, and then they would appear to be having supernatural revelation. Is there a Bobby here? Bobby, you're a bus driver, and you do, and it looked like God was revealing things. It was deception. Greed was another motivation that Paul says. We didn't come out of greed. We didn't come to get big offerings and make lots of money. We didn't come from flattery. We didn't try to preach the most gentle, popular sermon so that everybody would fawn over us and tell us how wonderful we were. He didn't come for that or the desire for human praise. And why is Paul so concerned to emphasize this? Well, because his goal was not to please people, but to please God. And what made that possible in Paul's life? Well, again, it's the gospel. If you need people to validate you, you will be tempted to manipulate them. If you need people to admire you, you will probably tell them what they want to hear. And if your identity depends on success, you will probably be tempted to compromise your convictions. But if your identity rests in Christ, then you no longer need to use other people to feel good about yourself. You can love them. The gospel creates integrity in us because it frees us from self-justification. We no longer need to prove ourselves to others because Christ has already done that for us. So marks of a gospel-changed life. Boldness is one, integrity is one, and then the third in this passage is gentleness. Paul writes, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Now, I want you to notice that Paul does not compare himself to a king or a warrior, a philosopher, or a great successful leader. He compares himself to a nursing mother. Why? Why is that? Well, because the gospel doesn't just change what we believe. It changes how we relate to others. And why did Paul love them in this way, like a nursing mother? Because he himself had experienced the nurturing love of God. It's one of the central dynamics of the Christian life. You become like what you worship. If your heart is captured by power, then you'll be very much attracted to domineering behavior. If your heart is captured by success, your heart might be captured by or oriented to kind of demanding or driven behavior. If your heart is captured by anxiety or approval, you could be moved into the realm of anxiety. Am I approved? But if your heart is captured by love, God's love for you, then you become loving. You become like what you worship. And it's the pattern of Christ. Notice verse 8. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. And that's exactly what Jesus did. That's a description of what Jesus did. Jesus didn't primarily just bring a message or a teaching. He brought himself. The gospel isn't information. It's Jesus. It's a person. And Paul's ministry sought to be patterned after that. So this passage then confronts us with an important question. Are we becoming more like Jesus in boldness, integrity, and in gentleness? Not just are we becoming more informed as Christians, not merely more active as believers, but more like Jesus. Consider boldness. Many churches are very strong on truth, but they're kind of slack on tenderness and gentleness. Others are really strong on compassion, but they're really weak on conviction. I remember one time watching, do you remember Larry King? Larry King Live? And he was interviewing a Christian pastor, very well-known guy. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, and I don't want to say anything bad about him, so I won't say his name. But there was him, the Christian guy, and there was the atheist guy. And I agreed with everything the Christian guy was saying, and I disagreed with everything the atheist was saying, but I liked the atheist way more. The Christian guy was just so joyless and rude and blunt, and just, it was all about doctrine and information and truth, but there was nothing there about life and joy and Jesus, really. So, boldness is good, and gentleness is good, right? And both of those, you know that road down just across the line, Double Ditch Road? You ever driven down Double Ditch Road in Linden? Boldness and gentleness are on either side of Double Ditch Road, right? So if you can veer off and just be all about boldness, 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 and you may just end up being doctrinaire and maybe even a bit judgmental. But you can also veer so far to the other side into the road of integrity, or rather gentleness, that you really never proclaim the gospel in a bold way, in a truth way. You try to soften it. So boldness and gentleness are so key, but so is integrity, because it doesn't matter how bold you are in your speech or how gentle you are in your speech if your day-to-day life doesn't back up what you're saying with integrity. Then you will just be dismissed on the spot. You have not earned any kind of a place of hearing. So God calls us to all of these things. We can tell the truth. We can love people. We can serve sacrificially. We can share not only the gospel, but we share our lives as well. You know, there's a little saying. It's sometimes attributed to Saint Francis, but I don't know if Saint Francis really said it. I think it's questionable. But anyway, that's a historical. And it goes like this: preach the gospel everywhere you go. Use words if necessary. Can I say this? Words are necessary. Because if we only preach the gospel with our lives, what's the result of that? People look at you and say, oh, what a great guy you are. And Jesus doesn't get any attention or glory in that. So yes, we live our lives with integrity, but we also have to proclaim the gospel with our words, witness to the gospel with our words, with boldness and with gentleness. And when the church begins to look like that, that's when the world catches a glimpse of Jesus himself.